Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Making sure that ever-changing technology can be made truly accessible to blind and partially sighted people is a challenge, not least because it keeps evolving, and of course when designing equipment to be accessible through touch, colour contrast, or maybe talking menus and audible prompts to someone who has little or no sight, designers have to be at least one step ahead, because everything takes time to get from the drawing board and into reality. And that's why organisations like British Wireless for the Blind Fund are forever having to have one foot in the future to make sure that their radios and audio players, to buy or borrow on free loan, can easily be used by a vision impaired person. And of course, all the indications are that much of this future technology will increasingly use a broadband internet connection to pick up what's being heard, including radio stations, talking books, talking newspapers, and sources of news and information. Now, to help British Wireless design their bespoke radios and audio players, they're always keen to ask blind and partially sighted people about how they want to use this type of equipment, so the charity can begin the process of designing for the future. And that could be something you might want to help them with. We spoke to both Dave Beard, who looks after the technical side of things at British Wireless, and the charity's chief executive, Margaret Granger, about testing technology for the future. And we started by asking Margaret how they go about gazing into the crystal ball of technology to stay ahead of the game.
We've always prized ourselves on being at the forefront of technology. We do the very best with the equipment that we're providing at the present time. But obviously we're looking a few years ahead as to what we will be providing at that point. And today, when technology is moving so fast, it sometimes can be a bit of a problem. So at the moment we are looking up to 5 years in advance as to what the best kind of product people will want and need at that point.
And is there much change made to existing products? So if you've got something like, I'm thinking of the Concerto 2. Mm-hmm. That's a kind of multifaceted device that presumably kind of evolved over the years, did it?
Well, it did. What we did was we asked people exactly what they wanted and what they needed. As technology was beginning to change, we'd got cassettes, we're beginning to get CDs, and then there were other things coming along like SD cards and USB. And we said to people, what do you actually need? What will you be listening to? Because if we know what you want and what you need, then we can provide a better product. And of course, everybody came back and they wanted everything. And I think the first model we made up was about 3 foot by 2 foot. Absolutely huge box. But what we've eventually managed to get was something that was made specifically for us to our instruction, and that became the Concerto and then on to the Concerto 2. Obviously, going forward, it's going to be much more difficult because everything seems to be converging onto a single product. You can listen to your radio, or you can listen to your TV, or you can listen to a podcast, or, well, listen to anything really, any audio provision. And we really are wanting to look at what people are going to be wanting to access and how they're going to access it in a few years' time.
And is that therefore what you are clearly saying, marrying a piece of technical equipment to someone's daily living habits, what they do from one moment to the next in their day?
Well, this is it. And habits are changing. It used to be that many people used to stay very much in their own home, but now more and more people are getting out and about. And they want something much smaller that can still do the same as their large product which they have sitting in their house.
Now, Dave Beard, turning to you, you're the agent liaison manager, and you, I know, kind of oversee the technical side, but also people using the equipment, the hands-on side, the ergonomics, I think they call it. How important is it for you to get blind and partially sighted people's opinions about the equipment that you provide?
Majorly important. From our perspective, we know that technology is moving really, really fast. And for us to actually try and achieve what we want, which is this one-stop shop for infotainment, we clearly come towards a product that may well be broadband dependent. Now, there are many people that have not met technology yet or may well be new to technology. And we want to ensure that we have good focus on creating products that will benefit those individuals and be accessible and easy for them to use. So it's very key that we listen, and we think we're quite good at that. We've been very good at that in the past, and going forward we want to really try and listen closer and closer to what people were saying.
And when you do your testing, do you say to people, here is a piece of equipment, a sort of mock-up, if you like, of what a piece of equipment is? Or is that for much further down the line? Do you start by simply asking them, what kind of thing would you like?
It's very important to not put years into developing something to come along and everybody just says, we can't use it, because that's a huge amount of time that's been wasted. And by listening to people at the initial stage, we hope that we should be able to be as effective as we possibly can.
Right, so gathering opinion is the most important thing. So I therefore assume that people do not have to be techies. They don't have to be into technical equipment. You actually want people who almost perhaps aren't, just want to use something in a practical way.
Yeah, we want to have good focus on products for those who are new or have not met technology as yet. That's very important.
Well, Margaret, finally, coming back to you, Dave was saying quite clearly that it's very important that you get blind and partially sighted people to help design, if you like, the equipment that blind and partially sighted people are going to use in the future. Because, of course, you do not provide devices that one finds on the shelf. They are custom designed, aren't they?
Most of them are. If we can find something on the shelf, then we will use it, because obviously it's cheaper, and if it's sufficient for people's needs, then obviously that's what we'll do. If we can't find that, then obviously we will either adapt a set, or alternatively we'll actually get something made in a bespoke way. But what we do need is for people to talk to us and let us know how they use their equipment, really, what's important to them, and how they use it, because if we know how people are using things, we can actually provide the product to make sure they can listen appropriately.
Now, if you feel you could contribute your thoughts about how you use radios and other listening devices and what you would like to use in the future, British Wireless for the Blind Fund would really like to hear from you, and they have regional representatives all over the UK. You might also want to talk to them about applying for one of their radios and audio players on free permanent loan. Either way, their phone number is 01622 754 757, and they can also be emailed at info@blind.org.uk.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.